Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's 100% natural, hormone-free, and side-effect-free. Here's how it works. The app analyzes daily changes in your body temperature to find your fertile window, so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. Natural Cycles is a clinically proven, non-hormonal birth control option that's 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. No synthetic hormones, just science. And if you're ready to start family planning, switching from preventing to planning a pregnancy is as easy as tapping a button. Plus, the Natural Cycles app makes tracking fertility easy. You can measure your temperature trends using an Oura Ring, Apple Watch, or our Bluetooth thermometer, which is free when you sign up for an annual subscription. Join over 4 million registered users who are taking control of their fertility naturally. Save 15% when you sign up with code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com. That's Radio 15 for 15% off today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
We already know who the champions are. We watch them win their championships. Now we're giving them a fake championship. Like, the host is the most important thing, and they've kind of just ignored it for a decade. And outside of Tracy Morgan, so let's see what happens tonight. I can't wait.
All right, let's take a quick break. We come back, we'll get into the list. We'll also have CJ Hurt during hour number two. Stick around, you're listening to Jeffrey Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. Each and every day here on Jeffrey Wright and Company, we do a little thing called The List. Let's fire it up. The University of Memphis men's basketball and softball programs. Yeah, this is from our friend Jason Munns over at the CA. The NCAA has charged the University of Memphis with academic integrity violations committed by its men's basketball and softball programs, the organization announced today. Memphis worked in concert with the Committee of Infractions to arrive at a negotiated resolution for the violations committed during the 2024-2025 season. I thought this was the 23-24 season.
I want to say the violations occurred in, was it December, November or December?
I thought it was 24? All the Malcolm stuff. As a result, Memphis, already on probation due to a pair of previous infractions cases, will have its probation extended by another 2 years. The men's basketball program must also vacate 3 wins, Wichita State, Temple, and Tulane, from the period between January 25th and February 18th. The softball program does not have to vacate any wins because the Tigers did not win any games during that span. So, yeah, I guess it would have been this year. I always thought this went back to the Malcolm stuff.
Maybe that was the original infraction that they were tacking onto.
The school must also pay a $30,000 fine plus 1% of the combined men's basketball and softball budgets. The ruling stems from a series of improprieties involving former men's basketball player Malcolm Dandridge, two softball players, and former academic advisor Leslie Brooks that stretches back to January and February of 2024. Neither Dandridge nor the softball players are identified in the NCAA's report. Multiple sources told the CA that Allie Callahan and Aaliyah Dixon were the softball players involved. The sources requested anonymity because they are not authorized to speak publicly on the matter. Memphis then fired Brooks, who was the school's academic advisor for men's and women's golf, back on February 23rd of 2024. Yeah, I think this all stems back from the 23-24. But the larger case is probation extends, but they're not losing scholarships. You're not losing postseason eligibility. And it's nice to see some vacated wins are back. So we had 3 wins vacated from 2 seasons ago. Hooray.
Yeah. Yeah, this, I mean, this is a something you see. I saw it today. I was like, oh, wow, there's news in July. But there's like, it's news that's in this era of what it is. This, is it news? Or does it, would it be news in a different time?
Like, spoken generally about it, and he kind of gave the impression of, like, we think it's handled. This, to me, implies it was handled.
It was handled. Yeah. I mean, do we credit him a little bit with making sure it got handled? Is this something that's in
I credit plausible deniability.
Okay.
I think it was very easy to attach it to two people.
Whatever. What was the biggest punishment for North Carolina? They had the biggest, like, they've had the biggest scandal, right, with academic.
Well, they had, like, made up classes.
Of the modern era, they completely made up classes, but...
But they essentially argued that the NCAA doesn't tell Harvard how to run its school. You can't tell North Carolina how to run its school, so largely they got away with it.
Right. But, yeah. I mean, it's obvious when, well, you can have fake classes, but...
Right.
Yeah.
All right, anyway, so overall...
It's the school of Derrick Rose, so...
Overall, all things okay. Dave Portnoy. All right, this from my buddy Ryan Glasspiegel over at Front Office Sports. Fox Sports is poised to make another big bet on Big Noon. Oh, God, I had the story up. Why is it paywalled now?
Uh-oh. Big Noon kickoff we're talking about. They're bringing in Barstool Sports, right?
Well, I want to get the whole detail. They're bringing in Portnoy, but it's kind of like unclear like what the role is. So
I think they call it the McAfee role. I think that's what they call it.
I don't think that's what it's going to be. I think it's going to be, I'm more curious to know if Clay Travis is still going to be on, because, all right, here we go. The network is nearing an expansive deal with Barstool Sports founder Dave Portnoy that would include him appearing on its college football pregame show. The deal would also involve Barstool content being featured on FS1, sources told Front Office Sports. The deal has not been finalized, and a Fox Sports spokesman declined to comment. Portnoy would join Urban Meyer, Matt Leinart, Brady Quinn, Mark Ingram, Chris the Bear Felica, and host Rob Stone on Big Noon. Charles Woodson also appears on the show on special occasions. Ryan writes that Portnoy and Barstool Sports have always done well with the coveted 18 to 34 demographic, and Fox would be betting on this move to being a counterpunch to Pat McAfee, who started his own media career at Barstool after retiring from the NFL on game day. Portnoy is a Michigan grad and appears frequently on Fox News and Fox Business Network programming over the past several years. This comes also in conjunction with the Athletic's report that FS1 would have sweeping cancellations with Breakfast Ball, The Facility, and Speak coming to an end. Barstool content is expected to fill some of this FS1 airtime, likely via a licensing agreement. So similar in the fashion that we see with Pat McAfee on ESPN. I would be curious to know if he is going to be on the desk, or if it's going to be like the way that they used Clay Travis was like Clay was somewhere and they did it like a stand up.
Right. I see this, like, the whole story of, like, I just think of Pat McAfee. I just think of Pat McAfee. They have somebody else who is being successful, not part of ESPN, not part of FS1, and they are bringing him in. They're bringing Barstool Sports, obviously, is successful on its own, but...
So it's interesting,
it's a very logical move. It's going to make me tune into that show, which I never do.
I'm a little interested in fit because when Dave does mainstream stuff, like, he's very good at his universe, but his universe is very unpolished. You know what I mean? Like, it's not broadcast television, and broadcast television still kind of set in the, it's got to be formatted like TV's quote-unquote supposed to look. So I'd be curious to know.
Limited number of seconds. That's why it's a great move, because it is. I want to watch it. I want to see how will he mesh, because he is coming in. He's definitely an outsider from the traditional format. And these pregame shows, which ones work the best? Like, Pat McAfee's still an outsider. He's figured out a way to blend what he does into that format, but he was not that polished. He does a totally different daily show than anybody else would
do. I'd say
do
the key difference, though, is he is, whether it's trained or not, he is a performer. And Dave is more of personality. Like,
well, how much is that his performance? I mean, can he adjust his performance? I mean, we'll see. Can he do what Pat McAfee is? It will show us, like, what Pat McAfee, you're right. I mean, Pat McAfee does his thing. But when he's on game day, he's on game day. And it's not like the Pat McAfee game day. Like, he didn't change game day outside of he added new storylines between him and Nick Saban. That's how he changed game day.
He
brought new energy and new storylines, but he didn't change how the show operates and how
he presented
any of that. That's because he fit right in. But he didn't show, like, I don't, from what you've seen from him. But of course, he did all this. He had a cup of coffee a game day before he came to game day, Pat McAfee, right? Yeah. He was in Memphis for the game day.
And he was doing ESPN games as, like, an analyst.
So he had at least some experience in that. And you're saying that this lacks the experience, that it's that you can't just Pat McAfee something that easily. But no, we might be able to.
I mean, he brings a massive audience. Like, that's true. I don't know, though. Like, to me, the most fascinating thing is, like, he has said horrible things about Urban Meyer, and if they're going to be on the same desk, like, that's must see, because Dave is not exactly someone who shies away from confrontation.
Yeah. It's Fox, you know, outside, what you have, what our big desk, and we have inside the NBA, we have college game day, right? Those are your biggest ones. But then what's number three on that list is Fox NFL Sunday, right? So Fox has done it before. You know, they figured out the NFL desk, right? It's a top three desk for a pregame show.
Networks, it's clearly the best.
It's clearly the best NFL one we've got, right? And of all the networks,
yes,
of any sport, for network television, the best pregame desk is the NFL NFL on Fox. So they've kind of underperformed when it comes to the college one, right? Like, they've done okay. They've actually put together a decent product.
I actually
and
think
they
the
have some
pretty,
stars, but
I think I guess the show's decent.
You're the underdog in the such thing, a way.
Well, I think the show's pretty good, actually. The problem is, more times than not, the Big Noon game is a secondary game to me. Like, Big Noon really takes off at the end of the year because the Big Ten really backloads their schedule. Yeah. But for the most part, it's usually like games that I'm marginally interested in.
All right, I'm excited about this move and getting something different here. I know I don't ever watch the Big Noon kickoff because I'm college game day household, but like I'm going to it's obviously got great reviews going in. Could this screw up what they've got? Because I've heard great things about Big Noon kickoff. I just never think to watch it because I want to watch. I'm more focused on the Southeastern Conference and Memphis, so I'm not really interested.
The other thing, though, that is a little interesting to me is FS1 going to go this route of essentially admitting, like, listen, we can't build stars internally anymore, and now what we're seeing people are doing, and maybe it's just cheaper this way, rather than, like, trying to come up with new shows or build around certain people, they're now, like, going out and, like, acquiring the rights to other properties and then just going to, like, sublicense them. So, for instance, the Pat McAfee show on ESPN, what ESPN is going to be doing with Inside the NBA, like, this is Fox dipping their toe in that.
The new trend in sports TV. And it could pay off. It could pay off greatly for everybody. I think for the viewer perspective and the network, right? Like, it puts some of these bigger and oftentimes better performers and analysts and stars in front of a bigger audience.
Well, I also think we're starting to, if you want to talk about a trend that we're starting to see, I think too many executives in the last 4 or 5 years got really wrapped up in thinking a social media presence equaled into stardom. There are some people, it's true. Like, it clearly worked for Alex Cooper. Like, she's clearly a star in that capacity.
Yeah.
But it lent itself to, honestly, hiring a lot of people that were just good at the internet and not necessarily who's the crazy guy that used to play for Kentucky college basketball? George, he was a college basketball personality. Rex Chapman. Do y'all remember Rex Chapman on the NCAA tournament coverage that lasted 6 minutes? Like, that was a disaster. But he had, like, a big following. And so executives got all wrapped up. And I think the problem is they didn't really understand the numbers. They just see, like, this person has this audience. And then it doesn't always necessarily translate.
Yeah. No, it doesn't. And as Pat McAfee more, you know, we keep mentioning his name a lot here. Not everybody's going to be Pat McAfee. They're not going to transfer because, like, is Barstool Sports, is it too niche? Is it going to work on that bigger scale? Because Pat McAfee has a lot of critics. People don't like, you know.
Listen, I don't know. Do we have to have McAfee at the All-Star game? Like, I don't know. Like, I don't, like, I do think an interesting point that Cowherd made in a show he did with Ryan Russillo.
This is Cedric, the new Grizzlies draft pick.
Correct. This is Colin Cowherd, the Grizzlies first round pick. Fox is a bigger believer of, okay, we pay Colin a lot of money, but we do protect him. We don't want to overexpose him. Whereas the ESPN strategy is the people we pay the most money to, like, we ride them like a horse until it can't walk anymore.
Yeah.
And so I think for the way that people responded to the Stephen A. Smith, I do think has ESPN wondering maybe should we back it off a little bit.
I mean, Stephen A. is different. I mean, he's going to eventually, you know, call us the stir if he's.
I don't think they'll ever admit this, and there's probably no way of proving it. I do think Stephen A. hurt the NBA product at the end on ESPN. I think it made a lot of people not care.
Yeah, and you might be right. He could be fairly or unfairly grouped into the negative energy that goes towards the NBA, like, because we're always talking about the NBA's got, you know,
correct
problems they got to fix. Stephen A. is one of them.
All right, college football quarterback tiers. All right, boys, The Athletic doing important work. This is from Sam Kahn and my old friend Antonio Morales. He used to cover Ole Miss down at the Clarion Ledger. Now he's covering USC, I believe, for The Athletic.
Oh, wow.
All right, so we have seven tiers.
Wait, he's USC?
Yeah, I believe he's covering USC.
He went from Ole Miss to USC.
He's from California.
The reverse Kiffin.
Correct.
All right,
yeah.
Let's go.
He did what most people would do, which is move from Mississippi back to California. All right, so we got tier one. Y'all ready?
Yep, got it.
Cade Klubnik, Garrett Nussmeier, Lenora Sellers, John Mateer, DJ Lagway, Drew Aller, Sam Levitt, Kevin Jennings, Josh Hoover, and last, Arch Manning. All right, here's who I want short.
Okay. I've thoughts.
Sellers?
Yep.
Mateer?
That big time.
Jennings?
Yep.
I think Levitt's too high, but I also think Levitt is pretty good.
My thing with Levitt, and I think we saw this throughout last season, perfect fit, system fit. And that's not a bad thing.
They initially were kind of protecting him, but as the season went on, he had momentum and he started playing really well, and then they did start letting him cook a little bit. He's also an underrated runner. I don't know how you could watch the Penn State game and be like, Kevin Jennings, I believe in you.
No. My other one there, and this might just be I haven't watched enough, I'm not super sold on Hoover. I think he's fine. I don't know about tier one.
I think he's a really good thrower. I don't have a problem with your stance.
So six of the top 10 quarterbacks in college football this year, according to this tier list, are all in six of them are in the SEC.
Correct. All right, tier two. Sawyer Robertson, 12 Carson.
Sorry, hey, we're getting down to these tiers. You're gonna have to give me the school with these. I need to know the
Sawyer's school. At Baylor.
We're getting further down the list. I can't.
Nerds love Sawyer Robertson.
All right,
the advanced analytics love Sawyer Robertson. I actually think he's pretty good too.
He's got a live arm.
Yeah, Carson Beck at 12, Miami this year. Luke Altmyer, Illinois. Rocco Beck, Iowa State. Diego Pavia, Vandy, Haynes King, Georgia Tech.
It's amazing how you could jump from those top 10, which all those quarterbacks, if you did list the schools, it would be like, okay. You know, like the now we've definitely, the tier of school has changed in this other tier.
Well, wait for tier three.
I was going to say, the one I'm curious your thoughts on there is one, Altmaier, because I thought he played really well last year, and I think he is another one that fits Bielema's system pretty well. And then Haynes.
So
Haynes I'm really interested in.
Luke is very good at knowing how good Luke Altmaier is.
Like, that's not a bad thing.
That's what I'm saying.
That's a really good thing.
Incredibly self-aware, heady player, pretty tough. Do I, like, want to give him a Ferrari?
No.
No, but I think you can win a lot of games with guys like Luke Altmaier in college.
Agreed.
All right.
So we got Vanderbilt, got the best quarterback in the state of Tennessee.
Haynes King for how Georgia Tech plays, which is essentially option football.
Yeah.
He is incredibly good at that. The problem is Haynes going to miss three games.
Well, yeah, because he's also getting hit 35 times a game.
But he's tough as nails. Like, you can win with him.
I don't trust his arm. But yes, Kevin.
No, I
right,
do. Oh, I,
right now.
Oh, but I don't. But that's the thing.
You don't have to.
I don't want. Like, they run basically like a glorified option.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pavia, best quarterback in the state of Tennessee.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, it's him, Aguilar, and then
it's either going to be
whoever is going to be starting for Memphis.
It's either the Nevada kid. Is it Brennan Davis?
Uh huh.
Or AJ Hill.
And we're not sure that Antoine's going to start.
Correct.
Because they're not taking him to Media Day.
Correct.
So I thought it was Brennan Lewis, isn't
Brennan
it?
Lewis, that's it. Yeah. That's it. All right. Tier three.
All right, yeah. I can't wait to hear these schools.
Fernando Mendoza, he is at Indiana. He was at Cal last year.
Eesh.
All right.
Darian Mensah, formerly of Tulane, now at Duke. Nico Imaliava, formerly of Tennessee, at UCLA.
Right. We're well aware. So this tier, like, it starts being, like, these are a lot of jumps. These are a lot of jumps down here.
So they define tier three as most teams would be happy with a quarterback of this caliber, great ability and solid body of work, but they have some flaws. On their best days, they can be great, but there can be an underwhelming moment or two.
I mean, they're great
this
enough
is
to
like
get wooed.
Quintessential, like, the definition is, like, college quarterback.
But they were, so far, like, you've listed three, they were at different schools last year. Like
a lot of these are transfers.
They were transferring over. But a lot, yeah, that's true.
A lot of
that's
these are transfers, and if that's the definition, because I ended up reading the definition, there's more than a couple of these guys that I disagree with in this tier.
All right, Brennan Sorsby, he is at Cincinnati. Actually a returning starter. You probably disagree with me on this, George. I actually think this player is the poster child for this tier. Talen Green,
that's
Arkansas quarterback.
Not the one I'm thinking of, or a handful that I really don't like in here.
But Talen, to me, honestly, the next two are right there for me.
Yeah.
But I don't think Talen stinks.
Right. No, I don't think he stinks.
But he's just not like the world's most, like, you can watch one throw and be
like, he's not your Heisman pick.
Well, he's like, you watch one throw and you're like, damn. And then you watch one throw and you're like, gross. But
the next three, so these three in
Arkansas,
this middle of it, are not the ones I'm thinking of. If anything, I'm not a fan of Mendoza. I don't get it. Not for me. I don't get Marcel Reed, Gio Lopez, and Malik Murphy. I'm just like, I don't have that gene.
So Marcel, I swear to God, he was a better quarterback when I saw him as a freshman.
Well, I guess my question to you, George, would be like, who is in tier four or five that should be up there in three then? If you're saying these guys shouldn't be here, who's your sleeper pick? Who are you writing your
Jackson
email to?
Jackson
Arnold,
I think, should be up there.
The athletic.
I think Jackson Arnold should be higher up. But that's the thing. A lot of the guys in the next one are either Miller Moss, I think, should be up a tier. A lot of these guys, in this fourth and beyond tier are either young quarterbacks that are getting their first starting experience.
Well,
so they don't fit.
Arch Manning, of course, is a top 10 tier getting that. So it's holding back everybody else.
Yep, that's pretty much.
Goes back to my Nepo baby thing. These guys, if they had a different last name, they would be in a different tier.
All right, so we got in this tier, we have Jackson Arnold at 35, Noah Fifita at 36.
Okay.
I'm also wondering if Noah was a creation of Jed Fish.
That, yeah, I don't hate that. I like Jed as well. I was about to say, I know you're an Arnold guy.
Tet still played last year, and Noah was significantly worse.
Yeah.
These are the guys that like I quietly have stock in. 37, Austin Simmons. 38, Bo Prabula. I go back to what I said with Tottmeyer last week.
Yep.
As annoying as Drinkwitz can be, he's pretty good with quarterbacks.
He gets the juice out of them.
And this is probably more talent than he's had. Mark Gronowski was at South Dakota State. He's now at Iowa. Get ready, folks. We could have an exciting Iowa offense and a mediocre Iowa defense.
Freaky Friday.
That could be a year. We have Cosplay, Mahomes, Dylan Raiola. Aiden Childs, I still have stock in.
I thought we both had Miller Moss stock.
I do have Miller Moss stock. I also have Brohm stock. Like, I think Brohm is pretty good with quarterbacks. I think overall, like, that's kind of the thing is that I find myself wondering, do we have good quarterbacks this year?
There are some other ones in here because, like, that I'm out on Wegman.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with that.
But I could still be in on Salter and Maiava. I kind of need to see a little more.
I'm out on all three of those. Honestly, the guy that I hold the highest hopes for is Lagway.
Oh, yeah.
I think Lagway truly has the highest. Of everyone we're talking about, Arch included, I think Lagway has the highest ceiling. Now, does he get there? I don't know. But my opinion right now is that Lagway is who Anthony Richardson thinks he was.
Yes.
Much better passer. Much tougher. Much better leader. Yeah. Yeah. I will never forget a quarterback asking himself out of a game because he had to scramble too much. All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, CJ Hurt next, right here on Jeffrey Wright & Company, 92.9 FM.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's built around your body. The Natural Cycles app pinpoints your fertile days by tracking shifts in your temperature so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. It's easy to use. Simply take your temperature in the morning with our free Bluetooth thermometer included with our annual plan, or sync with your Oura Ring or Apple Watch. The app analyzes your data and tells you daily whether it's a fertile or non-fertile day. Natural Cycles is 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. But beyond effective birth control, the app helps you understand your body and cycle better than ever. And unlike some period tracking apps, Natural Cycles provides an advanced data protection program to keep your information private and secure. Ready to go hormone-free? Sign up for the Natural Cycles annual plan and get a free Bluetooth thermometer, plus 15% off your subscription with the code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
ESPN. CJ Hurt is a Grind City Media personality. You can see him every weekday on the Jessica Benson Show with CJ Hurt. Also, make sure you're following the HBCU Huddle. Follow him on Twitter, on X, at ConRadicalness. Driving back on the artist formerly known as Highway 78, now I-22. CJ, how was SWAC Media Day?
It was great. It was great. There was a lot of interesting stuff, a lot of good stuff that was said. I had a chance to sit down and talk to Arkansas Pine Bluff's head coach, Alonzo Hampton, and, you know, Arkansas Pine Bluff, one of the two teams in the Southern Heritage Classic, so got to talk to him about that and more around that program. Also, some interesting things coming out of Alabama A&M with their first-year head coach, Sam Shade. He's coming over from Miles College, and Miles was really, really good at the D2 level, especially the past 2 years. Now he's taking a step up to the FCS. He sat down and he found out we were from Memphis, and the first thing he said, his eyes got really, really big, and he said, "Hey, you know we recruit Memphis. We love coming to Memphis. We love the football that gets played in Memphis." So talking to him about the fertile recruiting ground that is Memphis Shelby County and why he feels like it's so important to recruit that area. So talking to him, got his thoughts on that, plus so much more, man. It was a whole lot of fun. Oh, the SWAC announced that they got a TV network now.
All right.
So think FCS network, but SWAC. So that's the first time I've heard of an FCS conference having their own TV network. So now SWAC games will be played. So every Saturday now, the games will either be on ESPN or HBCU Go or on the SWAC network, which is pretty cool and pretty impressive for a conference in the FCS to feel like they can have their own TV network.
Is it going to be its own platform? Like, are they going to have their own app? Like, how will you access it?
So you'll access it on the app. Right now it's available on your Apple Store. It's available on Roku. It's available. What's another TV streaming app?
Is it on Hulu? Is it on YouTube?
It's not on Hulu. What they want to do is not on Hulu or cable yet. They're doing their own app first, and then they're going to hopefully get some offers in the off season, and then it'll be on one of those types of things. Chromecast. That's the other one. The Roku Chromecast.
Are they on Tubi? Because Kevin made a point last night that I don't think the All-Star game was on Tubi, and then, you know, Fox owns Tubi, and they made a big deal about putting the Super Bowl on Tubi. Like, are they going to put it on that?
I mean, listen, that whoever wants to pay for it, will be.
Yeah,
they're
equal.
That's the way we're going.
If the check clears, yeah, I can see that. Who's the favorite this year?
The favorite coming out preseason, Jackson State. Jackson State, 3 of the past 4 seasons, 10-plus wins, 3 of the past 4 seasons. They went to the Celebration Bowl, which, for those of you who don't know, is the Black College Football National Championship game. They won it last year. They're bringing back a star quarterback who's preseason Offensive Player of the Year, Jacoby Morgan. He was the Celebration Bowl MVP last year. They went into the transfer portal and grabbed one of the best receivers last year in the SWAC, Nathan Rembert. And he's coming over to Jackson State now. And I had never seen this, and I'm trying to figure out a time when this may have occurred. The preseason all-conference selections, preseason first team, all-SWAC offensive team. The quarterback, both receivers, and the tight end all coming from Jackson State. Like, they're going to be loaded once again. Herb Mulligan did a great job running the ball last year for Jackson State. SWAC fans and Jackson State fans know about Herb Mulligan. He was Offensive Player of the Year in the SWAC, and if I remember correctly, Black College Football Player of the Year. I'd have to double-check that. But he had a stellar season. He's gone now, and it looks like they're going to be a different type of team offensively, a team that's more focused on explosive plays in the passing game. So that's in the SWAC East. The SWAC West, Southern was voted number one over there. They've got a star returning in Kelby Givens on the defensive front. He is the SWAC preseason defensive player of the year. Excuse me.
Is that my big boy that had the touchdown last year that was like one of the best highlights of the year?
I think so. He'll be up for FCS defensive player of the year as well, right? Like he's got that type of talent. There have been scouts already checking him out and identifying him for not just the HBCU Senior Bowl before the big Senior Bowl as well, the HBCU Legacy Bowl, but the big like East West, the Shrine games also. So he'll get a chance to show what he's going to be able to do. And I look forward to seeing how he plays this season.
Okay, I can't, George, who was asking me? Someone asked me in the last couple of weeks why the SWAC champion always elects to go to the Celebration Bowl. My simplest answer is the check is always bigger. It is a massive payday. Is there anything beyond that? Because you know, you have more context than I do.
No, like that's it in and of a nutshell. The idea for the Celebration Bowl came about many years ago, and they finally implemented it. And the interest in the Celebration Bowl is such that the teams who participate each take home about $1 million. And like you're not getting that type of payout from the FCS playoffs. And so while it would be great to see the champion of the SWAC be in there with the champion of like the Big Sky and some of these, the CAA and some of these other conferences, it's like, yo, we're getting $1 million to play in this game. Why would we turn that down? In fact, if they could, they do three games.
Yeah.
They do
a series,
two semifinals and a championship game. So that's how much interest there is in the deciding who the best team in Black college football is. Every year it's in Atlanta every year, and it feels very much like a classic or a homecoming, where it's not just the two teams in the game that are there, but everybody from around all of the HBCUs are there. So this past season, it was Jackson State taking on South Carolina State, but I can't tell you how many Mississippi Valley State people there were, how many Miles people there were, I'm a Tuskegee alum. I saw all of my Tuskegee alums out there as well. Like the stadium gets pretty packed, and it's more than just the two teams playing. It's everybody from FAMU to North Carolina Central, from Virginia State to Virginia Union, right? It's a whole bunch of people that come through who aren't involved in the game directly. This is a giant tailgate, it's a giant homecoming, it's a giant party, and a celebration of all things HBCU at the Celebration Bowl.
All right, CJ, we got some breaking news coming across the wire right now. The WNBA has announced who will be performing halftime at the All-Star Game. You know when the All-Star Game is? This weekend.
Saturday, right?
I guarantee you I'm not going to know who it is.
Well, the game is Saturday, and it is a Grammy-nominated superstar that is going to headline the 2025 AT&T WNBA All-Star Game. That individual is Glorilla.
Oh, I do know Glow. Yeah, Glow. Let's get it.
Yeah, Glow. Memphis's own Glorilla will, she said, quote, "You know, I'm always going to represent for the ladies, and I'm excited to bring the big glow energy to the WNBA All-Star stage. This one is for the women and athletes who go hard every single day." So how about that? Memphis, we're not getting a WNBA team anytime soon, but we're going to have a performance at the halftime show this weekend. How do they format this game?
Oh, that part I don't know.
Well, and then also Caitlin got hurt last night.
Yeah.
We've gotten to the point where I think everybody is – All-Star games used to be the only time or one of the few times in a season where you get to, like, see your favorite player have fun, right, where you get to see your favorite player interacting with fans and interacting with his peers or her peers in a really cool and unique sort of a way. Well, now with social media, we see that all the time. So I think that that has taken a bit of the luster off of, the shine off of all-star games. I think everybody's all-star game is trying to find ways to stay relevant. Some are doing better than others. So with everybody changing how they do the all-star game, I just, right before the all-star game, I just read the article that tells me, hey, what the hell is going on in this all-star game?
Yeah.
What's the format? That's when I'll figure it out. Who the hell knew that it went to a swing-off instead of extra damn innings in the MLB all-star game? Did you guys know that?
We know now.
No, I learned. Well, the other thing is I didn't know on Tuesday or whatever. So, yeah, Tuesday. I didn't know on Tuesday that we'd gotten rid of the swing-off if two guys were tied.
And the home run derby was supposed to go to a swing-off.
Yeah.
Listen, I'm gonna be honest. I'm over my third eye, and I encourage everybody to do the same here. I think they're supposed to go to a swing-off. Like, I remember reading that on Monday and thinking, okay, so each round, if it's tied, they go to a swing-off. And I think that because the big dumper was involved, I think that they measured it because they didn't want to, because they knew he had beat the other guy out by just an inch. And they wanted the big dumper to continue through because everybody loves talking about the big dumper and how hard the big dumper dumps that thing. So I think they rigged it. I think they changed it last minute.
You think they changed the last minute? I the tiebreaker makes a lot of sense to be the distance in the early rounds.
It does feel like if we're coming down to like under an inch, maybe we should just do a swing off.
If it's under an inch,
I don't know. Somebody, men out there, ladies out there, whomever, like y'all tell me, does an inch really matter that much? Like, is an inch a big difference? Because I don't think an inch is a big difference.
Well, like,
now we talking a three. Like, yeah, that's a big difference. God forbid we're talking like six. That's a big difference. But just one, like, well, I don't think there's a big difference in 7 and 8 inches.
So we just ask, just have a different random lady every year. You say, how many inches should be the difference here? What would make the difference? And then, all right, that's what we do.
I was actually fine with it because I think if you're Brent, like, that's the best way to lose because you can just claim you got screwed. But I don't think Brent was going to win anyway.
Yeah, man, we will never know.
Correct.
We'll never know. I would have liked it to go to a bit of a swing off. 1 minute, let's see who can hit the most home runs. But, hey, listen, shout out to the big dumper. What's Big Dumper's government name? I don't even know it. I just like
Cal Raleigh.
Great. Shout out to Cal Raleigh, baby, and the Mariners. First one to win since Ken Griffey. First switch hitter to win.
Yep.
First catcher to win. Also home run derby. So he said a lot of firsts came out of that home run derby.
All right, my man. We appreciate you.
I appreciate y'all.
That is CJ Hurt of Grind City Media. When we come back, we tell your story next, right here on Jeffrey Wright & Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. All right, boys. We are also learning Andrew Marchand, who is also reporting, in addition to Ryan Glasspiegel, Barstool will also have their own pregame show before Big Noon kickoff on certain events as well. So Fox leaning into...
Let me know when they get Glorilla performing.
Because
I'm watching the WNBA All-Star game this weekend now.
I can't wait to see.
Yeah, glow.
Dave Portnoy. They have to sit Portnoy and Urban Meyer next to each other.
Well,
I need.
That's what they wanted to be. They're making me watch. So not that I'm not a Barstool person, like where I have to like follow them over. I only listen to occasionally. So they've got an intriguing dynamic.
I am a GoPros Go guy, so I've got no problem admitting that. All right, for today's Don't Tell These Story, Tell Your Story, gentlemen, C.J. Gardner-Johnson absolutely laid the smack down. This from Pro Football Talk. C.J. Gardner-Johnson helped the Eagles win the Super Bowl in February, but he was traded to the Texans in March. And Gardner-Johnson thinks the Eagles got rid of him because they don't like his competitive approach. Gardner-Johnson was on the Pivot podcast and was asked why he's not an Eagle anymore. Quote, they're scared of they're scared of a competitor. Simple as that. We had a little scrum at practice. Nothing, just offense versus defense. But who's the culprit of it? Me, I guess, because we're competing. Well, you tell me the period is live. You're telling us not to compete during a live period, but it's a live period and we're getting ready for a playoff game? You want me to be the leader and outspoken? Be the leader and outspoken, but you want me to sit back? There's nowhere been a locker room where I had a single issue with a teammate. They got rid of him because he's too competitive.
This is literally the same person who had the same player on the Bears swing on him multiple games in a row.
I do like starting a fight at practice and saying a little scrum.
Just a little scrum, a little dust up, a little thing.
He's too competitive.
Too competitive.
Michael Thomas tried to kill him.
I love that. All right, Kevin, we will talk to you tomorrow on Rider Than Right Trivia at 10:30 on the Jeff Calkins Show. I want to thank CJ Hurt for being on the program. If you missed anything, be up on the podcast shortly after the program. And for George, for Kevin, Jeffrey saying thanks for listening. Keep listening. The Gabe Kuhn Show's coming up next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Escape the heat to True North Convenience Stores and get any size True Oasis Fountain Drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi Fountain Drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off. The wait is finally over. Ready or Not is available now on consoles. Become an elite SWAT commander and feel the weight of the badge. The immersive cult classic is now on its way to more players than ever before. Coming this summer for PlayStation 5 and Xbox Series XS. Get ready for 18 high-stakes missions, solo or with up to 5 players in co-op. Clear rooms, protect civilians, make split-second calls, and join the tactical shooter community. With countless ways to set up your loadouts and gear, no mission is the same. And with full crossplay, your team can suit up no matter what system they're on. So, if you're into tactical gameplay and intense high-stakes action, Ready or Not is the must-play tax shooter this summer. Available now on PlayStation, Xbox, and PC.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.